Well, good morning to all of you.
Good morning.
So good to see you here this morning. Welcome those in the foyer to make their way into the sanctuary this morning. And for those of you that are visiting with us today, we especially want to welcome you. And if there's anything that we can do to make your worship time more helpful this morning, don't hesitate to ask. And if you're a first-time visitor, hopefully you've gotten a visitor welcome package from one of our ushers. If not, see me. You won't want to leave without it. I know it's got cookies in, so it's always a good thing. If you didn't get to see some of the announcements this morning, I'll just highlight, I think pictures today are off since it's kind of rainy and drizzly, so no pictures today. If you haven't had your picture taken, don't sweat it. They will probably be doing it again next week, I imagine. And so we'll get your picture eventually. So no pictures today. Don't worry about that. And this Tuesday, we've got a couple of events. The men's breakfast at the family restaurant at 8:30 in the morning. If you're able to join, always a good time of fellowship and encouragement. And plus you get to eat, you know, whatever you want for breakfast. So also on Tuesday this week, we have the witnessing support group. If you would like encouragement for how to share the gospel message with those that you come in contact with, this is a great way to come, get equipped with the tools you need, and also the encouragement. And that's 6 o'clock Tuesday right here at church. And a couple of upcoming events just to kind of keep on your calendar. Ladies are getting together on the 25th for their LIFT, Ladies in Fellowship Together gathering. So that is coming up on August 25th. Teens, hopefully you saw the teen outing that's coming up for disc golf. That will be August 26th. And then Ladies Retreat, September 16th through the 18th in Valders at Camp Sinawa. So those are your announcements for this morning. As we go to prayer this morning, we'll be reminded that Pastor Kurt and Maria and also Beth are over on the other side of the world, and it's 9 o'clock at night for them, 9 o'clock in the morning for us, I think, approximately. Probably got that wrong, but they're on the other side of the clock. And Tony, Drew, anything going on at home? Did you hear from them at all? All right, good.
They're doing well. They were a little bit tired.
I'm sure. Well, good to know that they arrived safely, and they have a lot of things that they will be involved with. This isn't a vacation for them. They're over there ministering and encouraging and helping out. So we'll continue to pray for them. Our family of the week, Dennis and Jill Schilling, and half of them is on the other side of the world too, right? Jill is out in South Korea, assisting Maria. She just recently celebrated the birth of twins Hannah and Luke. And Luke is doing well. He's home. But Hannah's having a little trouble yet. She was on breathing assistance, but that's all passed now. But she's having problems eating. When she eats, it just comes right back up. So they have to feed her with IV right now. And so we'll be praying for Hannah that she would... they would find out what's going on, and she'd be able to eat on her own. But Jill will be in Korea until the end of September, so keep an eye on Dennis. I think he's doing so good. when I called him the other day, he was doing refrigerator pickles, so I don't know. He's keeping the household running. So our overseas servants, Adam and Kim Markowski, they are still on deputation, but they have been accepted at Ethnos 360, and they'll be going out to Papua New Guinea. Once they finish their deputation, they'll be starting up homeschooling. And for those of you that do homeschooling, you know that's always a challenge. And just that they would continue to trust God for finances. And lastly, the persecuted saint of the week is Alia, a believer in Central Asia. This is her story. Hello, my name is Alia. I'm a 19-year-old believer in Central Asia, and I'm proud of my faith in Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. My parents, however, are Muslim and do not approve of my Christianity. When they discovered my Bible, they called me a disgrace to my family and have threatened to kick me out of the house. It's stressful just to be at home, knowing that my family is hostile toward me and my Jesus. I know that the Lord is my hiding place, but it is hard to live in this tension. Please pray that my parents would come to know Christ as I have. He is such a good God. Please pray that I can remain strong for the gospel here in Central Asia. So let's go to the Lord this morning in prayer. Father in heaven, we do humbly bow before your throne in the presence of your majesty and holiness. Father, you are a creator and sustainer of this earth and the universe, and you have all things in control, Lord. And Father, we are so grateful for the love that you bestowed upon us and open our eyes to see our need of a Savior. Father, we thank you for our pastor, for Pastor Kurt and Maria and Beth as they are ministering to those over in Malta and to other parts of the world, Lord. We just thank you for their willingness to go and to serve you in this capacity and to live on the other side of the clock, Lord, is a challenge. But we just pray that you will encourage them and help them to adjust to things, Father. And may they just be a real blessing as they work to further your gospel message. Lord, we thank you for our brother Dennis and sister Jill, Lord. Thank you for their faithfulness over so many years here and all the things that they are involved with. And for Jill and her talents on the piano and Dennis leading many adult Sunday school fellowships, Lord. We just thank you for their ministering hearts and for the other ways they minister as well. Father, during this difficult time, we do pray that you will just strengthen them and be their portion as they must live a long-distance relationship. But Father, we just thank you for Jill and her willingness to help out Maria in the birth of the twins. Father, we are so grateful that they arrived safely, and Lord, we rejoice in their birth. We thank you that Luke is home and doing well. And Father, we just continue to pray for Hannah, that you just give the doctors wisdom, place your healing hand upon her young body, Lord, that she would be able to eat in the normal fashion, Lord, and be able to come home and join the rest of the family. So, Father, we just pray, Lord, that you would give everyone involved just a peace that passes all understanding as they watch this young one. Father, we pray for his grandson Joe as well, as he's recovering from brain cancer. He had that removed. And, Father, now that he's having some chemo treatments, Lord, and each one is progressively a little harder to endure, he has one more left. And, Father, we just pray that you would give him the strength, Lord, to endure this last one and to be finished with that. And Father, we pray that the cancer would never again come back, Lord, and that he would just be able to return more to a normal life. So we just thank you for Joe. Pray that you will encourage him and strengthen him, draw him close to yourself. Father, for our overseas servants, the Adam and Kim Markowski, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for their hearts that are willing to serve and willing to be in a foreign country and plant a church in Papua New Guinea. Father, we thank you that they have been accepted to that field and that you have led them there. And Lord, we just ask that you would help them to continue to trust in you for the prayer support and the financial support, Lord. As they continue to make plans and raise support to go to Papua New Guinea. And Father, for the homeschooling effort that will soon kick into high gear, Lord, pray for both the teachers and the students, Lord, that they would be work together to learn and to grow in the knowledge of you and just to be helpful in the entire process. And Lord, lastly, we pray for our dear sister Alia in Central Asia. Father, we thank you for her faith. Lord, thank you for opening her eyes. Lord, we know that she will be eternally grateful for salvation, just like all of us are. But currently, she is suffering for her faith and being persecuted by her own family. Father, it's hard for us to imagine what that would feel like to be persecuted just because of a belief in you and trusting in you as Lord and Savior. So we pray for her parents, Lord. Pray that you would take the blinders off their eyes, that they too would see that they're following a false religion and that you are the only wise and true God and the only one that we can put our faith and trust in. So, Father, we pray that you would just encourage Alia, Lord, that you would continue to walk with you and to continue to share your gospel message, Lord, and just look forward to how you're going to work in their life. Father, this morning we do dedicate our service to you. We raise our voices in praise to you in song. And Father, as we hear from our brother Mike Nally later, Lord, we just pray that you will flood his soul with a peace that passes all understanding, Lord, that the message that you have laid upon his heart would be laid upon ours, Lord. And may the Holy Spirit have his perfect work this morning and send conviction or encouragement, whatever is the need, Lord. We just pray for Mike this morning and for our service. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. In the name of your Son, we pray. Amen.
We'll continue this morning by having our congregational reading, Psalm 100. Please stand if you are able. And if all of you will, along with me, let's say Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. O my soul, praise him, for he is thy health and salvation. O ye who hear, now to his temple draw near. Join me in glad adoration. Praise to the Lord, who o'er all things so wondrously reigneth. Shelter thee under his wing, yea, so gently sustaineth. Hast thou not seen how thy desires all have been granted in what he ordained? Praise to the Lord, who doth prosper thy work and defend thee. Surely his goodness and mercy here daily attend thee. Ponder anew what the Almighty can do, if with his love he befriend thee. Praise to the Lord, O let all that is in me adore him, all that hath life.
Jesus before him. Let the amen sound from his people again, gladly forever adore him. His name is wonderful. 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 Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. The great shepherd, the rock of all ages, almighty God is he. Bow down before him, love and adore him. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. All glory be to Christ. Should nothing of our ever stand, no legacy survive, unless the Lord does raise the house in vain. King, all glory be to Christ. His rule and reign will ever sing. All glory be to Christ. His will be done, his kingdom come on earth as in above. Who is himself our daily bread? Praise him, the Lord of love. Let living water satisfy the thirsty without price. We'll take a cup of kindness yet. All glory be to Christ. All glory be to Christ, our King. All glory be to Christ. His rule and reign will ever sing. All glory be to Christ. When on the day the great I am, the faithful and the true, the Lamb who was for sinners slain is making all things new. Behold, our God shall live with us, and he our steadfast light, and we shall e'er his people be. All glory be to Christ. All glory be to Christ, our King. All glory be to Christ. His rule and reign will ever sing. All glory be to Christ. Thank you. You may be seated. Let's pray. Father in heaven, the reason we are here this morning is to praise you
and that all glory does go to Christ. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Father, we thank you for this glorious day. We thank you for your presence in the person of the Holy Spirit. We thank you that you're going to minister to us through the preaching of your word. And we thank you, Father, that as your people, we have the joy and the privilege of giving as you have given abundantly to us. So take these gifts, bless the gifts and the giver, we pray now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Morning.
Morning.
Today's scripture reading will be found in 2 Corinthians. We're going to read chapter 6 through chapter 7, 1. If you would please rise for the reading of God's word. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore go out from their midst and be separated from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. To my feet and the light unto my path. My word is a lamp unto my feet and the light unto
my path. When I feel afraid and I think I've lost my way, still you're there right beside me. Nothing will I fear as long as you are near. Please be near me to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and the light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and the light unto my path. I will not forget your love for me. Jesus, to my guide, and hold me to your side. I will love you to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. A lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thank you. You may be seated, Mike.
Good morning. Milo sitting in the back there, dying laughing, because the last time he preached, he tried to turn this microphone thing on, and it just fell out, and it was a disaster. So I don't know if you can hear me or not. I hope you're out there. So I appreciate all of your attention this morning. It's really going to be a joy to get into God's Word with you today, and just wanted to thank you for the time. The title of our sermon today is Inner Strength to Stand Strong. There's a word picture that I could say. It's in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12. And this word picture is just simply this: therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed, lest he fall. We're going to be talking about a subject here in the next couple weeks, this morning as well as next Sunday morning, on something called spiritual warfare. Now, I wanted to define spiritual warfare first. What is that? And so let me go ahead here and just give a definition of spiritual warfare. The definition is the never-ending efforts of Satan and his unseen evil forces against the cause of Christ, and especially against true believers of Jesus Christ. Now, when it comes to the issue of spiritual warfare, there's two ditches, really, that you could fall into on this subject. And the first is overemphasis of spiritual warfare, or underemphasis. So let's look at both of them quickly. The first, overemphasis. Overemphasis would be what you see in the charismatic movement. Really, what that would mean is charismatics see themselves as having the power to constrain Satan. We've all heard of this, where they constrain the demons, and they do it in certain places, and they do it through their authority, you see. And they're binding, and they're loosing, and they're rebuking. It's a constant Muhammad Ali, really, where they're in a constant battle. And doctrinally, nothing against anyone from that movement. I hope I didn't offend anyone. But I will say, just doctrinally, I do not find that in Scripture consistently. But then you have the other ditch. The other ditch would just be having zero concern at all about the influence of Satan as the ruler of this world. I don't think any of us are really in either of those two ditches, but let's look at what Scripture really says. So in 1 Peter 5:8, I want to just read that to you before we get to our text. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober-minded, be watchful about the influence of Satan." I'm sorry. "Be sober, be be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour." So that's a serious, serious passage for us to consider as we start this. So there is a war. There truly is a war that's going on for the hearts of man, for your hearts and for mine, and for every unbeliever that you know, every relative that you know. There is a war that's going on. And just ignoring that war does not negate that it exists, okay? So we're never safe. We're never safe from spiritual attack. Charles Spurgeon, famous pastor from the 1800s, said, if a man has no devil, then he has no God. So if you're under attack, if you truly are burdened, and you know that you are under spiritual attack, you try to live the Christian life, but you sense the tension there, you sense that pressure, well, guess what? Good news, because that means you're in the game, right? You're in the game. So Satan's goal, really, is the discouragement, the interference, and if possible, the ruining of the lives of believers. So why? Why would he want to do that? Well, it's to thwart the cause of Jesus Christ. But the Lord has given us resources, and we're going to talk about these resources here this morning and next Sunday morning. And he's also given us the ability to remain unharmed and to stand strong against Satan and his warfare. So now what I'd like us to do, if we can, let's open our Bibles, or we can also see the text right up here. Our text this morning is Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and 11. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might." Verse 11. "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil." Now, we're going to have two primary points that we're going to consider today. The first is the strength of the believer, and you're going to find that in our text in verse 10. But then our second main point is going to be the stand of the believer, and that's going to be found in verse 11. So let's look at the strength of the believer. Verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. It starts with the word finally. Our strength has been provided. This is the very last section. I kind of wanted to look at the forest from the trees here before we get started. This is the very, very last section of the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians is divided into two sections. I don't know if you knew that. Chapters 1 to 3 are the work of God. Now, those are what's called in theology the indicatives. In other words, who we are in our relationship with God. That's chapters 1 to 3. Now, chapters 4 to 6 would be the walk of the believer. Those are the imperatives. That would actually be what we are commanded to do as believers of Christ. So the next two Sunday mornings, we're going to be talking about the Christian's defense system, standing strong, really. And so then next week, we'll actually be talking about the armor of God. So our text begins with the word, finally. I just want to open with this statement to challenge all of you. It's impossible to properly interpret this section of Ephesians on the battle that we're all in. It's impossible to do this without seeing it in the context of Ephesians 1 all the way to Ephesians 6, verse 9. You have to see it all, what happened before, in order to be able to understand clearly what we're going to be studying here. So consider, why is it? Why is it that the Apostle Paul is saying, finally? Well, finally, in light of all that God has done for you and your glorious standing before God, Ephesians 1 to 3, plus how God commands us to walk, Ephesians 4 to 6, in light of all this, there's a battle to fight. And you are in this battle. And you'll be in this battle until your very last breath here on earth. So to begin, it's important to remember that our standing and our position in Christ is the only foundation for us to obey the commands of God. And we know we have commands. We've all read them in Scripture. They just repeat again and again and again. And we need to be following those commands on a daily basis. So even in this text alone, in verses 10 and 11 in chapter 6, we see three commands. The three commands are very simple. Put on, be strong, stand strong. Now, in your flesh, you may say after hearing those three things, well, that's easy for you to say. But disobeying those things leads us to great discouragement. I'm not standing strong. I don't know how to put on. I can't be strong in the Lord. I don't know how. So, as an encouragement to all of us today, you cannot put the imperatives, which are the commands of God, before all of the indicatives or the truths about what God has done to secure our standing before our holy God. I don't know if you realize this, but every single false religion, all the legalism in even the Christian church, they teach that your righteous deeds are going to gain you more security, they're going to gain you more favor from God. And it's not the way to look at the Christian life. So I have a proposition. The proposition is just simply this. Standing strong in obedience to God against Satan's army only happens when we walk in obedience because of what Christ has done for us. So let's look again at verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord. Our strength occurs within us. This word strong, it means to be empowered. It's the picture of someone weak being made strong. Now, this really, it's a mystery. As I studied this, it's a complete mystery. And the reason it is because how can one person receive the strength of another person? But it says, be strong. And now that's a command. That's the first of the commands that we were going to look at. But then it says, be strong in the Lord. And that puts this whole passage right here in the passive voice. Now notice, it does not say, be strong by the Lord. It says, be strong in the Lord. And this is what's called an inner strength. An inner strength. To be clear, we all have to understand here this morning that this enemy is too great for any of us to face in battle alone. So we need to praise our God that there is a strength available to us as believers. And this text this morning should give us just great encouragement. And why? Because we can truly stand firm when persecution, when false accusations, when the lies of Satan, when divisions, unexpected trials, temptations, or attacks, when they come, we truly can stand firm. John 15:4, I want to read that to you quickly. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. If you're a believer here this morning, please understand you are connected with Christ. Galatians 2:20 says it simply this: I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So we need a source of strength. And in summary, our new life of obedience to Christ is not only based on our own efforts, but just trying to please a holy God. We need that source of strength. And so just as the vine is the source of life to branches, we need to be plugged into and receiving the strength from our Lord, because that is where the strength of the believer truly is. It's not in you. So what's the message? The message is just simply this: be strong, be empowered in the Lord. And even though you're weak in your flesh, by considering all that Christ accomplished for you, you can obey him. And you can stand firm under weights that would crush anyone without Christ. Think of the things that all of you have gone through in your life since you became a believer. I can't even picture some of the things that have happened even to our family, some of the things that are extremely difficult to endure. But Christ has helped us, hasn't he? He's given us strength that we never, without Christ, I couldn't even look to tomorrow. I couldn't look past today. So our strength comes from a source. So then the question is this: none of us have this power within ourselves outside of Christ. And in our flesh, we're weak, we're frail, we're fragile, we're fallible. Really, we're foolish creatures, and we're often discouraged. I don't know about your Christian life. At times, I'll be honest, I go through periods, I go through those valleys where I really am discouraged. I have to admit that. In my flesh, I am that way. I lose sight of the truth. Do you do that? So let's keep going in verse 10. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. You see, like I keep saying, our strength is coming from a source. And what I love about studying things like this, and I hope you see it too, that there's, when you're reading scripture in English, and we have to know the beauty of being able to know that these words that are in our Bibles, that there is a Greek meaning to that is so much more than what these words are. And that's an amazing thing for us as you start to dig deeper. There's even more here. You can never reach the bottom, right? So the Greek word for strength here refers to dominion. In the strength of his might. So in English, we just see the word strength, right? And then we're missing so much. So in summary, look at it this way in verse 10. Because of all God has done, we're to be empowered in the Lord and the dominion of his might. Dominion meaning God's power to rule, his supreme authority, his sovereignty. And so then how then do we gain this power? Well, we're to trust God and not ourselves at all. And when we're facing Satan's wicked schemes, I can just tell you, it's impossible to stand in your own strength. I can't do it. I know you can't do it. And without this, we'd be crushed under the weight of what Satan brings up against us, the accusations that he brings to us. So let's be clear then. Verse 10 says to be strong in the Lord. His power is only, that we're talking about here, it's only given to those who are in a faith relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you sit here today and you're out, you know that you're outside of God's salvation through Jesus Christ, we need to be perfectly clear. You are not in the Lord. You may be inside this building, but your sin still rests right upon you. My challenge to all of you, if any of you are here, even one, John 8:36, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And so then if you're free, if you are a believer here, then the storehouse of God's strength is accessible to you. Let me just read some verses to encourage you. These would be the verses. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. 2 Corinthians 2:14, but thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Romans 8:37, beautiful verse. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And then 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we've looked at the strength of the believer. Now let's look at the stand. I said that that was the main goal, right? For us to be able to stand strong. So let's look at that. So verse 11 just says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. It starts with put on. Our defense demands our action, put on. So we all understand what it means to put on something, right? Every one of you had to put on a jacket or put on, we've all done this our whole life, right? I was going to say a joke about a certain president that I know that was trying to put on a jacket, trying to get out of a helicopter. If you haven't seen it, look it up on the internet. Our current president trying to do that. It's so funny, it's not funny, but that's neither here nor there. So we understand what it means to put on something. But what we aren't seeing here in the Greek is then the urgency that this word put on in the Greek says. This is the Greek word enduo. And it's in the form of aorist imperative. And whew, I'm sure you, just like me, you probably went, what is an aorist imperative? Because I had to look that up, all right? Well, it just means this. To put this on, that you need to put this on. And not just the command to put it on, but to do it now. Don't wait. Do it now. It's an aorist imperative. So let's remember that this is a command. And just like all other commands, the Lord is just not going to force you to put this armor that we're going to be talking about on. You won't be forced to do it. You're going to have a choice. You're either going to obey it or you're going to ignore it. So ask yourself the question then, well, why would you not seek the strength of God's might? And we all know that we should, but why wouldn't we? And the answer is just simply this. Many believers see themselves as self-sufficient, self-confident, especially new believers. Do you realize that? New believers are ripe for discouragement, ripe for it. They don't have a full understanding of the full knowledge of the gospel. They understand the basics, but they haven't studied all of the other areas. And Satan is going to continually go after new believers to try to bring this discouragement upon them. So then how do you receive this strength? And this strength needs to be put on, not like the clothing that you put on today, but to be put on from the inside, not the outside. Romans 13:14 says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. John Owen, I don't know if any of you have ever heard of that name, John Owen, a very famous pastor, he says, be killing sin, or sin will be killing you. You know, legalism is putting Christ on the outside, and millions of people do this. Especially, I'll be honest, especially the teens. Young people sit in church all around the world, they do this. And this isn't just young people, by the way. This is people of all ages. But I know I did it. I sat as a teenager, and I put Christ on the outside. And they look so good. They have so much of the Bible in their minds. They could even quote you. I could quote you what the gospel truly was. But I was so far separated from the gospel. It truly wasn't really in my life. I didn't have a transformation. It was all outside. It's like a Christmas tree with the ornaments. Think about that. That is what many people in our churches are, sadly. But it's true. And until the Lord softens the stony heart and replaces it with a heart of flesh, through Christ alone, people that are putting Christ on the outside are not going to be able to stand firm in the moments of temptation because they don't even have salvation, you see. So knowing truth is not enough. The challenge I would give to all of us today is that you have to digest what Scripture says. How much time are you putting into the Word? Meaning, is it just a surface, or are you really, really studying? I have no pride in my statement, but I can say, again, I have a reason why I was doing it. But I've read through Ephesians every single day, 1-6, 1-6, 1-6. And I challenge this to you, please, for your benefit, be in the Word. Let the Word of God change you and help you. But then, just knowing the truth of the Bible is not going to be enough. You have to digest it. You have to be transformed, the Scripture says, by the renewing of your mind. See, our thinking, it needs to really be corrected. And when we're sitting before the Word of God, our thinking has to be corrected. I hope that you cry out to the Lord to change my heart, O God. Remember that song, that praise song? Change my heart, O God. I hope and pray that you say that to yourself. Your heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? So our thinking needs to be corrected and trained in the direction of righteousness. And then you can become strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. And I can just say we're fools to think that merely just knowing the facts, I know the facts of Ephesians 6, 10 through 20, I know every fact. I could memorize the whole passage, and that memorization is going to protect us when the tempter's at our door. It's just facts. So let's look at verse 11 then. Put on the whole armor of God. Well, our defense is provided by God. Have you ever thought why Ephesians calls it the armor of God? Think about those words, the armor of God. Why does it say that? I don't know if any of you ever knew this, but Isaiah 59:17 is actually speaking of God. Isaiah 59:17, it says, He, meaning God, put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on His head. Think about that. So the armor of God isn't just the armor that he gives, it's also the armor that God wears, if they think about it that way. So we're challenged to put on the whole armor of God. And again, do you see the command to wear every single piece, not just part of the armor? Every single piece. Back in the year 1586, there was a man by the name of Sir Philip Sidney. None of us would know who this is. He was killed in battle. Why? Because he was not wearing his full armor. You see, what happened is he looked over and he saw that Sir William Pelham was not wearing his leg armor. And the leg armor was, you could just probably even picture it. It's probably very difficult to be in a battle with where you're trying to run and do things with leg armor on. So he took it off. Well, you probably know what happened. He was struck in the leg, and he died from that wound. So what's the lesson for us? This is kind of where I transitioned here, and I hope that this is not just a heady sermon. This is a sermon that I hope really opens our eyes, your eyes, my eyes, to how personal really this is. The areas that in our life that we leave unguarded is going to be the very area that Satan is going to attack. Do you realize that Satan knows our weaknesses? And that he knows them even far more than you know them? Think about that. And we can't imagine that this is just not dangerous to us. Now, one comfort to us is this: Satan is not omniscient or all-knowing. And there's nothing in Scripture proving that Satan knows every thought that you have. I don't know if maybe you think that, but did you know? I studied that issue out late last night. It's not true. Satan doesn't know every single thought. Maybe you think that, but you can't prove it scripturally. If you can, please come to me. I've studied it over and over. But don't think for even a second that Satan's not aware of what you are going to likely do facing a certain situation. Satan knows it. He knows that if this certain situation is brought before you, he is confident and knows what you're likely to do. Should that scare you? It should. It should wake our minds up to the fact that we're facing a very vicious enemy. And this enemy has the knowledge to predict what we're going to do. So we need God's full protection. So what is Satan doing right now? Right now. 2 Corinthians 2:1, he's scheming. 1 Peter 5:8, he's stalking. Revelation 12:9, he's deceiving. 2 Timothy 2:26, he's ensnaring. 1 Thessalonians 2:18, he's hindering. He's lying in Acts 5:3. And then we're going to see next week, he's attacking. Remember the fiery darts? The fiery darts, he's attacking. Now the good news is Jesus Christ crushed Satan's power over death. And he did it at the cross, and he did it by rising again the third day. Praise God that he did that. And Satan is a defeated foe. We all have to know that this enemy of ours is a defeated foe. But he's still roaming about like a roaring lion, seeking who he's going to devour. And Satan knows the future, and he knows that his future is doomed, and he trembles at it. Matthew 8:29, the demons tremble. But then until that day that Satan is, placed by Christ into that lake of fire, We have to understand that Satan is going to do every single thing in his power to tempt us. He's going to do everything he can to lie to us, to discourage us, and to bring temptation before us. And then if possible, he's even going to try to steal away all the joy of the Christian life from you. He's going to test your faith. Do you remember Christ speaking to Peter at the end? Do you remember this? Christ speaking to Peter? What an incredible portion of Scripture. How the Lord Jesus opens up to Peter what was in the mind of Satan. Do you remember this? He tells Peter, he says, Luke 22, 31, Satan demanded to have you, Peter, that he might sift you like wheat. Do you understand what sifting wheat is? Think of that. I mean, even the concept that a human being would be able to go through the sifting, that we would be tried and tested and sifted by Satan. That's wicked and evil. But that's the enemy that we're facing. Corrie Ten Boom said this. She said, Satan wastes no ammunition on those who are dead in trespasses and sins. Think about that. Why would he? He doesn't need to. You know, if you know the Lord, Satan does have weapons to attack you. His fiery darts are nothing to look lightly upon. Don't go into that ditch where it's no big deal. It is a big deal. And the more the Lord uses you, think of this. Please, if you hear nothing else, just hear this only. That if the more the Lord is going to use you in your life, the more he's going to do that, the more Satan is going to be attacking you. And this is why we need to be praying for our pastor. Think of that. Because our pastor is laboring in the word, and the more that he does counseling with people, the more he tries to share the truth from us, the more he's going to be under the attack. So unbelievers, though, they're just going to probably deny it. But Satan already has them, you see. Satan already has them. Or at least he will have them for eternity unless they turn to Christ in this life. So then let's keep going. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to. You see, our defense is equipped by God. And I love it. It says it in the Greek, able to stand. This is in the present tense, that you may continually be provided with this protection. Able to stand, continually able to do it, continually. And then let's end verse 11. We're almost done. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. You see, our defense is defined by God. You see, standing really is our highest goal in this battle that we're in. It's just the only goal that we have is to stand against this enemy. It's not binding Satan. It's not rebuking him. It's not casting him out. Jude 1:9 makes that perfectly clear. But when the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." You see, standing is really our only objective in this war. And standing in the Greek just simply means this, to stand fast, to endure. If any of you are ever in the military, it means holding a position. And we're not going to give an inch of ground. We're going to hold this position. It's our beachhead, and it will not be taken from us. So it's not giving an inch of territory to the enemy. And then again, how is that done? What does this standing look like? And as we close, I just want to read a couple things to you as encouragement. One commentator I read said it this way. From a practical standpoint, standing firm means living the obedient, Scripture-dominated, Spirit-empowered life. And if this is happening, if that's happening in your life and happening in my life, then you will not be quenched or grieved, but instead, the obedient believer will be strengthened even more to stand firm. So the more growth that happens in your life, the more you learn of Scripture, the more you learn not just to put it in your head, but into your life, you're actually trying, and you're actually not fully, because none of us can. But the more we apply Christ, the more you're standing firm and are able to stand firm when the tempter comes. So the greatest weapon that we have in warfare is not what we say to the devil, but how we live the Christian life. You know, many commentators say that the armor of God really is just the victorious Christian life of obedience. And then in conclusion, let me say this. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. And our defense protects from attacks. I don't know if any of you have found this out. If you look at Satan's playbook, did you hear what I just said? If you read through Scripture and the ways Satan tried to deceive Eve at the garden and follow through all the way Satan tried to discourage Christ, it's the same playbook. It keeps happening. He does the same thing. It's his same schemes. And the more you study Scripture, the more you're going to understand those schemes and the ways that Satan is going to attack you, the more you'll be able to be prepared when the tempter comes. So one thing I can say is certain, and you need to understand this, and I do too, Satan is never going to stop trying to scheme or come up with a new way to get you. If he can't get you to lie, if he can't get you to do a million other sins, one thing that is so common from Satan is he's going to bring discouragement to you. He'll find ways to bring discouragement to you. That's one of his greatest, greatest tools. And we need to be prepared. When the discouragement is starting, what are we to do? How do we stand firm? And 2 Corinthians 2:11, I read this verse. It was so encouraging to me. Maybe it will be to you. I hope it's true. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, "So that we would not be outwitted by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his designs." Don't be ignorant of the designs of Satan. Understand the ways that he's going to try you and tempt you and try to sift you like wheat. Don't allow that. Stand, believers. Stand. And in closing, I'm going to read a quote here from Charles Spurgeon on this subject. You obviously love Spurgeon. It says, "He will attack you, sometimes by force, sometimes by fraud. By might or by sleight, he will seek to overcome you, and no unarmed man can stand against him. Never go out without all of your armor on." And next week, we're going to talk about the armor. "For you can never tell where you will meet the devil." Think about what that means. That you can never tell. You never know if today's the day that this is the day that you're going to be tested. It's going to be the biggest test of your life, and you don't even know it. You don't know the future. None of us do. But you could very easily have a temptation brought before you that is the most impossible thing in your flesh, what are you going to do? We have to stand strong. Then Spurgeon says, he is not omniscient, but nobody can tell where he is not. For he and his troops of devils appear to be found everywhere on this earth. Don't think you're safe. And then, in conclusion, just simply this. Do you believe that your defenses are unable to be penetrated today? Do you truly believe that you are above falling? That you are above? This is not going to happen to you. Do you look at others that have fallen and you tell yourself, I'm safe? Well, I can say this, you're only safe if you dwell on what Christ has done and that you remain in Christ. Satan often works in the who's going to know time. Who's going to know? I'm sitting by myself. Who's going to know? That's Satan's battleground right there. That's when he's going to fight you. And that's when he's going to try to tempt you. And I pray you understand that. And that I understand that. Keep your mind on your position in Christ. Walk in obedience to him. And then be strong in the Lord. Let's pray. Lord God, we are mindful of the schemes. Help us this morning to look at the playbook of the enemy. Show it to us, Lord. Help us see areas that we are weak, areas that we need to grow. Help these believers here. Help everyone watching on the internet, anyone. Help all of us to see areas that we know that we need to be strengthened. Then, Lord, help us to stand firm against those areas. Help us to be confident and walk according to all that you did. You placed us in the heavenly places, Lord. You've reserved our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. All of the things that you've accomplished for us as believers, Lord. I pray that we'll be ready, that, Lord, we would be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil, and that, Lord, we would not do it in our own strength, that we would see that we truly are vulnerable and that our enemy never sleeps. Help us to not fall asleep and to be ready to be in this battle, and to stand with our armor on. All of it, Lord, every single piece. I pray you'll equip us to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.
To God be the glory, great things he has done. Let's stand and sing. In closing, to God be the glory.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life and atonement for sin. And open the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son and give him the glory. Great things he has done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood to offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son and give him the glory. Great things he hath done. Great things he has taught us. Great things he has done. And great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son and give him the glory. Great things he has done.
Make sure you stand fast this week because the tempter is going to tempt you. You are dismissed.